Amen. Thank you. I don't know who it was that whooped when you announced me, but whoever you are, can you just follow me around wherever I go preaching? Can you just come as well? That was great. I don't normally get a whoop, so that'll be wonderful. That'll be really good. So it's really good to be with you today. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's great. We've struggled to get a date, haven't we? That's been my diary, not yours. I've been the awkward one. And it's great to finally be with you guys. So thank you for having us. So a little bit about me. I'm married to Sarah. We have four children. The eldest is at university now, in her first year at uni. We've got two at secondary school and one at primary school. And as well as that, we're foster carers for our local authority in Derby, primarily baby carers. So we've got two babies with us at the moment, one who is 7 months old and one who is just 5 weeks old. So if I look, don't applaud me, you should applaud my wife really, because she's the genius in this. It means we often have extra kids at home. So currently we've got these two. It could be more by the time I get home. That has happened before. I remember going to preach somewhere else. I had a phone call on the way from our social worker. I'm like, Abdul, it's like Sunday morning. You know, why you, you know, he is not going to phone just for a chat on Sunday morning. There's a reason for this. And by the time I got home from the church I was preaching at, we had a couple of extra people who were with us for a few days. So that's not unusual. But it's quite an age spread from 5 weeks to the university. So we do our best to serve them and love them all. So I lead the team at Jubilee Church in Derby. I'm also part of the Christ Central International team, serving alongside Jeremy Simpkins, Graham Anns, and some others as well. And primarily I work with churches here in the UK, but also some church plants in Eastern Germany and Cambodia. So it's quite a bit of a spread there as well. And I'm here this morning with my good friend Rich, who's travelled up with me. You get a whoop as well. Yeah. Rich and his family are part of the church in Derby, and he and his wife Fiona lead a fabulous charity in the city, providing furniture to those who have been rehomed, rehoused due to crisis, but not just furniture, demonstration of the love and the goodness of God as well. So if you get a chance to ask him some stories afterwards, then please do. So this morning, let me set my timer going. This means nothing, by the way, but it helps reassure you. Let me set my timer going. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about Christ Central. So I thought that might be helpful for you to understand a little bit more about who we are. So it's an unusual preach for me. So normally if I preach, you'll be pleased to know what I generally start by doing is opening up the Bible. That would mean, you know, that's normally a good place to start, isn't it? So that's how I'd normally start, and we'd work our way through a passage and say, what is God saying to us? But this morning is a bit different. So I thought it might serve you well to understand a little bit more about who we are as a family of churches and what it means to be part of us. It's great to see you've got a banner at the back there. And it's great to see our distinctives on that banner. And I'll let you into a secret about what we're doing with those very shortly. So Christ Central is an apostolic team led by Jeremy Simpkins. And together we serve somewhere around about 275 churches around the world in more than 25 different nations. It's probably more than that in terms of numbers, but that's been a bit conservative. And there are those that we're not quite sure of and quite how many they've got as well. But it's somewhere around that sort of figure, more than 25 different countries, and we're part of the wider New Frontiers family of churches. And that, as you may well know, was started by Terry Virgo some 40 plus years ago. And in more recent times, Terry handed over the leadership of New Frontiers as he was heading towards supposed retirement. I say supposed because he hasn't really, but not hands-on leadership of the movement anymore. He handed on to a number of different apostolic leaders, all who were to lead their own family of churches. And Christ Central is one of those. And so back in 2011, we sat down as a team and we asked the question, you know, what should our distinctives be? What are some of the things that would describe who we were as a team and the sorts of churches that we'd love to build and to serve and to encourage? What was God saying to us? What were the things that would define us in the years ahead? Well, it's over 10 years since we've had that discussion. And in that time, our distinctives haven't changed. You've got them printed on the banner at the back, which is great to see. Other things have come and gone, but they've really remained the same. And so, in the last little while, we've been asking ourselves the question as a team, are they still the right things? Are they still what God has got for us in this next season? Are they still the things that should define us? Are they still the things that we would put on a banner if we were printing it today? And the answer to that question is largely yes. You'll be pleased to know. But we have made a couple of tweaks. And I'm going to announce these tweaks at our leadership conference in June. So devoted leaders in June, I'm guessing you'll be there. Again, Paul, feel free to bring anybody else from the church. If you think yourself as a leader, if you've ever led anything or you would like to lead something, the invitation is to come. So that's quite a broad invitation, isn't it? But if you do want to be with us in June, you would be very, very welcome. So at the conference in June, I'll be announcing some tweaks that we have made to our distinctives. But I thought I might share them with you today and give you a bit of a sort of an inside track, a secret, you know, this is coming up in June, but you have to promise not to tell anybody yet. So I want to be able to do the big reveal in June, and everybody go, oh. And if you come, I can't have you going, I knew that already, because I'll get in trouble. No, it's fine. But I thought it might be useful to tell you what the tweaks are and to explain that and just talk a little bit about that this morning. Is that okay? So, by the wonders of technology, a slide is going to appear, I hope, on the screen there. And there we are. So, what we've said our distinctives are now, moving forward into this next season, are these four things. They should define us as a team. They should define the churches that we're working with, that we're seeking to encourage and plant around the world. Being friends, enjoying God together. Building grace-filled churches, empowered by word and spirit. Advancing the kingdom, transforming communities. And reaching nations, making disciples. Now, if you looked at the banner recently, you might go, there's a little bit of a tweak there. Some things are the same. The things we've added are we've put in grace-filled for churches. Rather than just building churches, building grace-filled churches. We'll talk about that in a minute. And rather than transforming the world, we've talked about now transforming communities. And I'll talk about that in a little bit as well. There is probably a whole sermon on each of these. But Paul tells me I've only got a couple of hours, so we've got to do it a little bit quicker. Is that right?
Yeah.
You're looking worried now, aren't you? So, shall we pray, and then we'll spend a little bit of time. Don't worry, you'll get home in time for tea, I promise you. It's all good. Let's pray and ask God to be with us as we look at these things together. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your presence with us this morning. God, as we gather, we thank you that you are here in our midst. And Lord, as we pray this morning, as we look at these things together, as we look at what you've spoken to us in your word, we pray that you would teach us, you would inspire us, that God, you would be our teacher this morning. You would speak to us by your spirit. We pray, God, give us open hearts to hear from you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm trusting it's okay to be preaching from here rather than preaching from here, but you will see that what I'm saying is in the book. Okay, and we will, for those of you who are getting nervous, don't worry, we will read some scripture together. Okay? Rich was looking nervous, so I'm sure some of you would be. He's like, open the book, open the book. It's okay, we'll open the book, don't worry. But this is our framework in terms of where we're going. So number one, what should define us? Being friends, enjoying God together. And this is a good place to start. Friendships and relationships are important to us, aren't they? They're important to us as human beings, and they're important to us as a team. So we're a team not just of co-workers or colleagues, but friends who actually enjoy being together, actually enjoy spending time with one another. Actually, there's a sense of fun and laughter when we meet together. There's a genuine care and love for one another. And part of that is worked out in, you know, these sort of friendships that we're seeking to build with one another. But also accountable friendships, where there's a depth to relationship. And where we've got those around us who we can genuinely say to us, so how's it going? And we know that we're not just going to get a surface answer of, oh yeah, it's all good. But actually there's some genuine depth of relationships and accountability. I guess many of us have known over the years, whether it's close at home or in wider Christendom, those leaders who have sadly fallen away from the Lord. You know, the common temptations of money, sex and power are still there. And whilst good relationships is not a guarantee to leaders not falling into those things, it is one help. Where we've got those that genuinely know one another. There's genuine depth of relationship there. Now the rabbis of Jesus' day had servants. But Jesus didn't call his disciples servants. What did he call them? Friends. John 15, verse 15, our first scripture. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus calls us friends. And it seems to me that if that's how Jesus modelled things with his team, that would be a good way for us to model things with our team. And I might suggest to you, if I may, it would be a good way for you to model things in this church with your team, where there's genuine friendship and relationship with one another. But it's not just enjoying friendship, not even just enjoying the mission, it's enjoying God together. The first question and answer in the Westminster Shorter Catechism says this: man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's about worship, about encountering God, receiving the Spirit, having that deep knowledge of knowing him. It's so good to spend time worshipping God this morning, isn't it? Because he is worthy of our praise, isn't he? He really is. But as well as encountering him in singing songs, there's a sense of, I want to receive the Spirit. I want to receive life from the Holy Spirit, not just at conversion, not just an initial encounter with the Lord, but the reality is, friends, we need to know more of Jesus every day, do we not? Or is it just me? I suspect it's all of us. We need that genuine life in the Holy Spirit where we're encountering God on a daily basis. He is filling us. He is empowering us. He is fueling us for what he has called us to. And I want to encourage you, friends, be that sort of person, be that sort of church where you're deeply receiving and knowing the Holy Spirit. So we want to be friends that enjoy God together. Not just on our own, but with one another, with relationship together. But the second thing is building grace-filled churches empowered by word and spirit. And we've added in this phrase, grace-filled, which I'll talk about in a second. But this talks about the sort of churches that we want to see. Yeah, for a church that is part of Christ Central, that's part of us, that's working with us, we want to be able to say we're building a grace-filled church that's empowered by Word and Spirit. And I guess that would be true of you here too as well. You know, there is a building that's required, isn't there? And for those of you that ever built anything, you'll know it's hard work. And if there's building involved, then there's effort, isn't there? And there's time and there's energy. And that is true. For us as a team, we want to be planting new churches and also strengthening existing ones, because both are important. You know, the good news is that Jesus said he would build his church. I mean, boy, am I pleased about that. You know, it's not on us. We get to take part in what Jesus is doing. He's the one building. He's the one building his church. It belongs to him, not to us. But he calls us to co-labour with him. He's the architect, but we're the ones laying some bricks. Now, obviously, when you build a building, the first thing you do, and I'm not a builder, by the way. If any of you are, you might think, oh, he's missed a stage here. But from my perspective, the first thing you do is you build the foundations. So before you go up, you go down. And if you want to go up a long way, you need to go down a long way. We're about to have some building work done at home soon. And it's not a big project, it's a conservatory. So it's not massive. But the builder was around this week and he was talking about what's underground. Where are the pipes? Where are the things that we need to avoid? How do we need to build down before we can build up? And the same is true in local churches. We need to ensure that we're building on correct foundations. And where do we find them? Well, here's a clue. It's in the book. God has given us what we need to ensure that our churches are built on the foundations, being true to what Jesus intended. Foundations like knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. Foundations like the grace of God. Foundations like discipleship, godly leadership, and so on. And it's in the local church that we're called to love and to serve. We're building churches. Because, why? The church is the body of Christ, isn't it? So Ephesians 1 verse 22, God placed all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The church is the body of Christ. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is her head. It's Jesus' church. He died for her. We're called to lay down our lives to lead, to care, to shepherd, to pastor, to love. But it's his church. It's his church. And like I say, the tweak we've added is this phrase, grace-filled. Now, if there's one thing that characterised Terry Virgo's ministry over 40 plus years, it's probably his teaching on grace. And that'll be true of the wider New Frontiers family. And we felt it was right to put something about grace into our distinctives. At the moment in Derby, we're preaching through the book of Romans. And we're doing it properly. We're opening out the book and here's a passage, we'll preach it. And that's how we're doing it this season. Actually, most of this year is through the book of Romans. And we got recently to chapter 5. And we've been looking at the subject of God's grace. And that's the way into the Christian life. It's the way on in the Christian life. And it also describes the sort of church we want to be. A church that's full of God's grace. A church that's full of his grace. A church that's full of life and joy, of grace. The way we live, the way we interact, the way we are with one another, the way we operate should be in grace and by grace. It should permeate everything about us and characterise what church life feels like. It means we operate out of the grace of God. What does that mean? It means we don't pressurise people. It means we invite people into something. not pressurise them into it. It means our culture is one of laughter and fun and joy and liberty and grace. There's a lightness to us. We don't get heavy and legalistic. You know, God has called us to an important task, hasn't he? We've got a world to reach with the good news of Jesus. But the way we do it is not to put burdens on people, but rather to liberate people, to call people to follow Jesus, not argue to persuade them. To call people into following him. It means we treat one another well, knowing that we're only here because of God's grace towards us. So I wonder, does that describe how it is for you here in Mount Chapel? We've been asking the question in Jubilee in Derby. We're saying, is this describing the sort of church we are right now? Or have we got some way to go? Have we got some things to learn? I'll be honest with you, I think we've got some things to learn. It's not we haven't got it at all, but I think we've got some way to grow. And I suspect that might be true for you here as well. In his gospel, the Apostle John says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Puts it like this in John 1:16. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. It means we freely give, we freely receive, and we freely give out of what the Lord has given to us. So this is a lesson we're learning in Derby at the moment. I want to encourage you. Be asking the question, how can you grow in grace as a local church? How can you grow in grace towards one another? How can you grow in grace towards the community that's around you? How can you more and more be described as a grace-filled church? But you know what? These churches need power. We need power, don't we? And they need to be empowered by the Word, by Word and Spirit. You know, it reminds us we need something other than us. We need more of him. He's called us, and the good news is that he empowers us. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of lots of churches that I know in Derby and wider, maybe this is true of your area too, that are typically, and Rich and I are having this conversation even on the way up here, that are typically strong in the Word. You might find that they're great Bible-believing churches, preach God's Word, but there's not much power of the Holy Spirit there. And then you might find other churches that are full of life in the Holy Spirit, are full of energy and dynamism and spiritual gifts and great joy. Excuse me. Excuse me. Great joy in life in the Holy Spirit, but not much of God's Word. I don't think we have to choose. I want to suggest to you this morning that you don't have to choose to be a Word church or a Spirit church, but rather you can be Word and Spirit together. And that's what we need, is it not? We need Word and Spirit. We need the Word of God and life in the Holy Spirit. And we love God's Word. We love His Word to us. We love Scripture. We believe the Bible to be God's Word to us. We believe it. Hey, we believe it. We read it, we teach it, we believe it, and we do our best to live it. But as well as that, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the life and the presence of God. And that's true of our lives individually. It's true of our churches as well. And I want to encourage you, as I'm encouraging us in Derby and other churches in our family, when we gather, give space to the Holy Spirit. So good that you said earlier, well, let's just wait and see what God wants to say to us. Sometimes people think, oh, does he want to say anything? Well, yes, he does. The question is, are we listening? Are we giving space to it? Are we allowing God to speak? Give room for gifts of the Holy Spirit, for tongues, interpretations, prophetic words, pictures, so on. Space of the presence of God. Now, sometimes people argue that having spiritual gifts in a meeting can put off unbelievers. I've heard that argument. I've heard people say, oh, we can't have those sort of things happening in our church meeting because that will put off unbelievers. Well, I'm sorry, I just don't buy that. Unbelievers who come to a church meeting are coming knowing that this church meeting they're coming to, there's some concept of a supernatural God. So guess what? They're not surprised when the supernatural God, that they might not know yet, does something supernatural. They're not put off by it. I can think of a couple of non-Christian friends of ours who have come with us to church recently. They're not at all put off by spiritual gifts. It might, you know, it leads to some interesting conversations over lunch. It really does. But I'd much rather have those interesting conversations over lunch where there's been some life and some dynamic of the Holy Spirit at work rather than just coming and observing not very much going on. They're not put off by it. They're fascinated by it. And it's perfectly reasonable that a supernatural God might actually do some supernatural things. So I want to encourage you to keep going for the presence of God. Keep going for it. The church is and should be the dwelling place of God. Amen? In the Old Testament, the dwelling place of God was the temple. Now, in New Testament times, well, you and I, we're portable temples. You know, we are the dwelling place of God. He lives in us. As we go around our daily lives, God goes with us by His presence, does He not? So when we gather together, when we come together, we're like a whole load of portable temples coming together. And so we should be where the Holy Spirit is at. We should be where God is dwelling by His Spirit. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone, in Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. That's who you are. God is building you together to become a dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Can that be said of you here at Mount Chapel? I know it's true theologically. I want to ask you, is it true theologically and experientially? Is that what God is doing amongst you? I need to speed up or I'll be in trouble. Advancing the kingdom, transforming communities. God has called us to advance, to move forward, to make a difference in His world. Not just to sit around waiting for Jesus to return. Actually to make a difference, to be advancing His kingdom. You know, it's His kingdom. He's the King. He's the one in charge. But I want to see His kingdom come and more His rule and reign in every sphere of life. And Jesus spoke lots about the kingdom of God, didn't he? You read through the Gospels, time and again, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God. John Wimber used to say, the church is the vehicle for the kingdom. The kingdom of God comes through the church. It's not separate from it. And we're called to remember the poor, the marginalized, the homeless, the orphans, the widows. And that's true for us personally. It's true for us as church communities as well, isn't it? We want to see communities transformed as the kingdom of God comes. We used to say transforming the world, and that is true. We want to see the world transformed, but if you ask somebody to describe that, it's quite hard to get a handle on, isn't it? How do you transform the world? But you might say, how do you transform your community? Well, you can think about that. You can imagine your community. You can think about what some of the needs are that maybe Jesus wants to address. And you can think, what would it look like if the church was to make a difference there? What would it look like if God's kingdom came in your community? You can imagine that. You can picture it. So we've changed that to transforming communities. And that's what we want to see happen. Time and time again, communities transformed by the kingdom of God, by the love of God, by individual believers and local churches living out what God has called them to. I'd love to know, what's God calling you to here in this community? How might your community be transformed? What might it look like if the kingdom of God was to come to your community, your road, your street, your place of work, where you hang out with your friends? What would it look like for the kingdom of God to come there? And then finally, our final distinctive, reaching nations, making disciples. God has called us to reach nations, hasn't he? Now, I don't know about you, but for us in Derby, the need is huge just in our city. You know, we could spend the rest of our lives and more just trying to meet the need on our doorstep. And it's right that we do say, well, how do we want the kingdom of God to come in our community, in our street, in our locale, where God has called us to be? But as well as that, he's called us to reach nations. And again, it's not either or, it's both and. There's always an apostolic call to the next place, the next village, next town, next city, next nation. And you see that in the life of Jesus, don't you? And it seems wherever things seem to start going well, and there's some interest in what Jesus is speaking about, what he's preaching about, what does he do? He gets up and goes to the next village, the next town. There's always a sense of him moving on to the next place. Why is it not? He's not interested in what's happening here? Of course he is. But he knows there's people there that need to hear the good news as well. And friends, the same is true for us. Yes, God has called us to make a difference in our community right where we are, but has also called us with a heart for the nations. So God calls us to be mobile, to be prepared to go. It might be to the other side of the city. It might be to the other side of the world. It might be to the other side of your road. But wherever it is that God is calling you, what's your response to him? Particularly as God calls us to other nations and have a heart for other nations. The wonderful thing is that God has sent lots of nations to this place, which is great. Lots of different nations in our cities, in our nation here. But as well as that, God has called us to have a heart for other places as well. To pray, to give, maybe to go. Great to see your map out in the foyer in the other hall there. Just some places you're praying for around the world. Some people that have gone in some cases, and people that maybe that are known to you. Some places that are on your heart. It's wonderful to see. I want to encourage you to think more and more about that. What is it that God is calling you to? Where is it that he's putting on your heart? The final part of our distinctives here is making disciples. I don't know about what it's like for you, but often Christians think that being a disciple or being discipled is about having a Bible study with someone. You know, that equates being discipled. Now, please don't mishear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying having a Bible study is bad. It's a good thing. It really is. Having somebody to encourage you and help you follow Jesus is a good thing. We all need that. But if you look at Jesus' model, you'll see that disciples were made in the context of mission. It's as they went, as they were going, that Jesus taught them. It's as they were with him that they grew in him. They were caught up in it. Yes, he taught them, but the context was always mission, always one of going. Disciples are best made as you follow Jesus together. As people get involved in God's mission, they learn what it is to follow Jesus and be obedient to him. You see, this isn't just for the really enthusiastic ones. This is for all of us. This is for every follower of Jesus. Bible study is good. Training is good. Accountability is good. Encouragement is necessary and needed. But let's make sure we don't separate those things from a life of following Jesus, a life of mission, a life of getting caught up in what he is doing in our individual lives and in his church, a life of making disciples. Now, I said at the beginning you could have a whole sermon on each of these. There's weeks worth of preaching material just there. And lots of scripture we could delve into if we had the time, but we don't this morning. But I hope I've given you a flavour of what some of the things are that are important to us. And more importantly, why they're important to us. Because they're in his book. They're what the Lord has spoken to us about. So I want to encourage you, as a local church, to, as a church here, be friends. Enjoy God together. Build a grace-filled church that is empowered by word and spirit. Advance his kingdom. Transform your community, wherever that might be. And reach nations and make disciples for Jesus. Amen? Can we pray together as we close? Heavenly Father, thank you that you've shown us through your word how it is you want us to build your church. And these lay the church from your heaven, we can certainly want to think of the word of the building, but you call us alongside involved. And so, Father, I want to pray this morning from our chapel. I pray for this local church, this body of Christ here in this place, this local expression. Lord, I pray for your great blessing upon them this morning. I pray, God, that they would be a community of people that are passionate about your word, but full of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them time and again about what it might mean to transform the community that they are part of. Lord, I pray increasingly you would give them a worldwide vision and show them how they can play a part in reaching nations for Jesus. Lord, I pray you'd catch them up in it. I pray you would build them. Lord, I pray you would add to them. Father, I want to pray that they would see salvation. I pray, Lord, that God, this would be a place that is on fire for you because of what you are doing in the hearts of your people. And so, Holy Spirit, I want to pray that God, for every person here this morning, be it here in this room or maybe watching online, Father, I pray that you would fill them afresh with your Spirit. Give them a fresh passion for following you. And God, I pray you would use each one in advancing your kingdom and building your church. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.